Good morning, beloveds, and welcome to the sanctuary. Thank you, Ken. Today is the very first Sunday in June, so it's me here. So it's absolutely beautiful here in Indianapolis. I'm sure you all are also enjoying some good weather out wherever you are. So we'll take this time now to greet one another in the room, and I'll release the mic and ask Lynn to play our opening song. So Lynn, the mic is yours.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. Memory, dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here, standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love.
For that song. It is always very good to see everyone in the chat room, looking at where you all are, chiming in from where you are today. So always wonderful to see that. All right, so next we have our statement of purpose here at Awakening Together. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom regardless of the forms in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways that we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so that we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. And that is a statement of purpose here at Awakening Together. Next up, we have our announcements for this week, and I do have a few announcements for us. First up, join us for Awakening Together's 2018 Fall Retreat, a contemplative journey through Italy. We will visit St. Peter's Basilica, the Catacombs of St. Sebastian, Pompeii, the Monastery of St. Benedict, Assisi's San Domenico, St. Francis Basilica, the Basilica of St. Clair, and more. Each traveler will receive a book written by Regina specifically for this pilgrimage to inspire deep contemplative reflection at each site visited. Light teaching along the way will complement and enhance your pilgrimage experience. As you know, there are two options for this pilgrimage. Option one is a 9-day pilgrimage. Option two is a 14-day pilgrimage. Both pilgrimage begin in Rome on October 20th. Please be aware that there are less than 3 weeks remaining to register for the pilgrimage. In order to secure your place on the October pilgrimage, you need your registration by June 20th. For full details, go to awakening-together.org and look at retreats under retreats and classes. Next up, tonight is our quarterly member meeting. The meeting is at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5 p.m. Pacific. The meeting will be led by Reverend Jacqueline Eckert, and we will look at our first quarter financial report and talk about this summer's trustee election and more. So do join us this evening for our quarterly member meeting. And the third announcement today is join Regina at Lewis and Clark College in Portland, Oregon from July 20th through the 22nd for a retreat entitled Awakening from Small S Self to Capital S Self. The purpose of the spiritual path is to awaken from the false self to the true self. But what is the false self? What is the true self? Are there steps one can take that will cause an awakening? What is Grace's role in awakening? Are there more awakenings than one? At this retreat, she will answer these questions and more. You will leave this retreat with greater clarity about awakening and the milestones along the way. She will also share specific ideas about how to supercharge your awakening process. Learn more about this retreat at awakening-together.org under the retreats and classes menu. An early bird discount is also available for that retreat if you register by June 15th. All right. So yes, sounds like it's going to be a lovely retreat with Regina there in Portland, Oregon, coming up in July. Okay, so that does conclude our announcements for this week. I'm going to ask Lynn to play another song here, and then I'll rejoin us after that with prayer. So Lynn, the mic is yours.
Don't you think it's time? Don't be
it's time. All right,
and thank you so much, Lynn, for that song. It was lovely. So if you'll join me now for prayer. That song was helpful with sparking the prayer that's here now to be spoken. Because it starts that love is all there is. Love is truly all there is. It is the one most magnificent truth that if we were to fully embrace that, it would literally change everything and everyone. So that is the foundation that I'd like to start this prayer, this gathering out today with, is the premise that love is all there is. So as we engage today, as we exchange energy during this gathering, I pray that that would be the foundation of that exchange. That we might recognize, know, and accept that love is all there is. As we speak today about the mystery of consciousness, as we talk about the greatness of the mystery of consciousness. I give thanks as always for the people that are here listening now, for those that will listen to broadcasts in the future, which is also the now. So very grateful for the people who continue to work together to bring the message and awakening together to all of us. Deeply grateful for that today. So it is, and so I let it be. Amen. All right, so we are going to move on with the gathering for today. My reader for today is Kathy Smith. She'll be reading from a book that I'm very fond of, as you all may very well know if you've listened to my talks in the past. I've read from Rupert Spira's The Transparency of Things on many occasions. This was a book that truly was one of the transformational books for me in this journey. And there are just so many fabulous, fabulous nuggets within this book. And I truly enjoy sharing from the book. So again, we're reading from, Kathy will be reading from The Transparency of Things. And the specific chapter that she'll be reading from is called Love in Search of Itself. So Kathy, I'm going to release this mic and ask you to come forward and read from Rupert's book now.
Good morning. So we start with a question from this reading. I'm trusting you can all hear me. Is that correct? Yes, thank you. So again, this section, as Reverend Gloria said, is called Love in Search of Itself. And it starts off with a question. What is the value and function of spiritual seeking? The purpose of seeking at the level of the body is to bring about happiness, and at the level of the mind, to bring about understanding. Inherent in seeking, therefore, is the feeling and the belief that happiness and understanding are not already present, and that they can be brought about through the search. In other words, happiness and understanding are construed as intermittent states that can be attained at some future time as a result of an activity, and by implication, that can be lost. When a desire is fulfilled, happiness is experienced. When a question is answered, understanding is revealed. We presume that it was the fulfillment of the desire that produced the happiness, and the answering of the question that brought about the understanding. However, it is the end of the desire, not its fulfillment, which reveals the underlying ever-present happiness. And it is the dissolution of the question, rather than its answer, that reveals the understanding that lies behind the mind's activity. And I'm going to read that one more time. It is of the desire moment which revealed your lying ever solution of the question rather than its answer that reveals the understanding that lies behind the mind's activity. Desire at the level of the body and seeking at the level of the mind are, in most cases, forms of agitation. They are modulations of a sense of lack, a sense that something is not right, that something needs to be secured or known. This agitation is an activity within consciousness and is an expression of consciousness. Everything, literally everything, takes place within consciousness and is an expression of it. This agitation could be described as the activity whereby consciousness colors itself in such a way that it seems to obscure itself from itself. The result is the thought and feeling that something is missing. It is as if consciousness was saying to itself, "I am not present. I am not experiencing myself. I don't know myself." However, this very thought appears in consciousness and is itself an expression of consciousness. That something that is supposed to be missing is consciousness itself. The I that is experiencing the feeling, "I am not experiencing myself," and the I that is thinking the thought, "I do not know myself," is already that one that seems not to be experienced or known. Consciousness is in fact always only ever experiencing itself, it veils itself from itself, and therefore feels that it's not present. In fact, consciousness is still only experiencing itself, even during the appearance of the feeling that something is missing. That very feeling is itself still the experience of consciousness knowing itself. However, consciousness does not know this, so to speak. It disguises itself. It veils itself. And hence, the search for itself begins. And that is the end of the reading, Love in Search of Itself. Giving up the mic.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy, for reading that from Rupert Steirer's book. I do want to share core value number four today. Core value number four, these core values are found out on our website, awakening-together.org. Core value number four states that we affirm one true self as the only truth. We live this value by embracing what is helpful on the path of awakening without idolizing any spiritual doctrine as truth. All right, so that is our core value that the talk today will hopefully highlight. All right, so I really enjoyed the chapter that Kathy just read, Love in Search of Itself. The title of today's gathering is The Road to Restoration. And for me lately, I've really going through a time of transitions, things moving very, very, very quickly, happening almost faster than I can keep up with, literally. So it seemed only fitting for me to talk today about this road to restoration. And the reading that Kathy just read for us speaks to one of the very vital points on this road to restoration. And that's what we'll be talking about today. So I want to start with what Rupert, the very first line in that reading, and let me get back to it here. The very first line in that reading, as Kathy mentioned, is asking a question, or actually giving us a very important answer. It talks about the purpose of seeking. Why do we seek? Why is there such a need in us to know or to reveal anything? But in truth, seeking actually feeds the idea, the belief in lack. I mean, if nothing was missing, if nothing was lacking, if everything was known and understood, what would we have to actually seek for? What would there be to look for there? And of course, we also know that the sense of lack is what fuels this collective programming that's very deeply embedded in each of us, or most of us, I should say, that keeps us believing that we are something other than gods. I mean, something other than a direct spark of the Creator. It's that sense of lack. And it runs so deep, that programming runs so very deep that it became evident to me why we seek. But Rupert begins here by talking about the purpose of seeking. He says that the purpose of seeking at the level of the body is happiness, right? We all want to be happy, simply put. The purpose of seeking at the level of the mind is understanding. And that's also something that, you know, everyone wants to have or to experience. So ultimately, what we're seeking then is both happiness and understanding. And again, keeping in mind that the very act of seeking feeds the notion of lack. It fuels the belief in lack, that something's missing. So it's a vital point, I think, for us to highlight here, because once we become aware of how seeking manifests, what we're ultimately looking for there in the act of seeking, we can maybe make a new choice to let seeking just kind of fall to the wayside, or at least begin to at least entertain the notion that we can let the seeking go. Because again, it's all connected. Once we're in the mode of seeking, we're automatically activating the sense of lack, that something is missing. So again, on this road to restoration, this has been a really key, one of the key primary focuses for me, and it remains as such. It remains something that I'm consistently looking at, consistently working on, and working through, so that I can make a new choice, so that I can allow that seeking to fall away. Because I know in doing so, I'm letting go of so much more than just the seeking, right? So again, seeking at the level of the body, we're looking for happiness. At the level of mind, we're looking to understand. So he also mentioned here in this reading that when we're doing this, when we're seeking at the level of the body and the mind, this is an agitation, literally. In most cases, he said, it's an agitation. It's something that we're not, that's not peaceful for us. It's not cultivating a sense of peace when we're seeking. Because again, the underlying premise there is that something is missing. So how can that generate a sense of peace? So there's this agitation that he talks about, and he says that it's a modulation of the sense of lack, which is also what I was saying here about the connection between seeking and lack. So we have these agitations within our awareness when we're seeking, even spiritual seeking, right? This is not, well, this type of seeking is okay, and you know, maybe this type of seeking I have to work on. No, we're talking about all seeking across the board. Because as I mentioned during the prayer today, only love is real. That's all there is. So if that understanding, and that's also why I was led to lead with that as our foundation, that only love is real. So if the understanding is there, that's all there is, that there can be nothing else, what more could there be to actually go out there and seek for? Because happiness is present. Joy is present. It is a natural byproduct of what we are, of what our consciousness represents. It's already here. So, as always, our main objective is to remove the blocks that hinder us from fully seeing, fully accepting, and fully embracing the love, the light, the joy, the peace, the happiness, the understanding that's already here, present now. That remains the goal. So I recently, you know, I had a question that was kind of really coming back to me over and over again. You know, it was a simple question, but it was rather profound. You know, it was, the question was, why is suffering necessary? Throughout my spiritual, you know, especially when it came to doing the studies that I did with becoming an ordained minister with Awakening Together, throughout that, I really did learn a lot about what suffering meant, what it, and why. Really, I just, there was so much information from different teachers all really saying the exact same thing. So I could recall some of that, but recently that particular question was very present in the mind. Why is suffering necessary? Why does even one person have to suffer in this life? It was a question I thought about, you know, quite, you know, deeply, as I said. And it's also a question that came up during a time where I was actually choosing to focus inward instead of looking so much out or casting my attention outward towards outward appearances. I was actually focusing inward when this question really hit me. So really, after a few days of sitting or being with that question, having it run through my mind and being with it, I could see that, you know, whatever we're holding as the truth will be experienced that way. It will be our experience. It's also tied into this belief that we hold collectively that we're these bodies, you know, and that really strong intention that suffering is real. You know, so I came to these realizations about suffering within myself. These weren't, again, as I mentioned before, where the mind is seeking to understand, but that whole question, this is part of dissolving the question completely, letting go of the desire to even want to understand why suffering was necessary. This was a part of this process that I was originally started out with, letting go of all of that. And as the answers came to me, you know, the revelations about why suffering was necessary, ultimately I could let go completely of not only the question of suffering, but the notion that suffering is real. There was a letting go of that whole idea of suffering. And it's not something that's easy to explain, but the reading really pointed out where I'm pointing to with this, what I'm talking about now. It's the recognition that beneath the questions, the answers are there. Behind the mind, the answers are already, it's already known. So the goal is not to know something that we don't know. It's to expand on what's already here. It's to allow that what's already present to be known, to be experienced. So when I get back to this whole purpose of seeking at the level of the body for happiness. You know, what if we all just came to the conclusion here that we're all perfect in every way, just the way we are? What if our quirks, what if our the things that we condemn about ourselves, the things, the flaws, the things that we don't like about who we are, what if those things are uniquely a part of your individual expression here in this life? I mean, what if everything was just perfect? What if there was nothing else to know, nothing else to gain, nothing else to be revealed to you or me about spirituality, about who we are? What if we all just accepted the notion that nothing is missing? That we are truly restored, truly living a life of knowing who we are and what we are right now without any delays, without any further seeking, without any further efforting. What do you suppose the outcome of that would be? Not that we're ever in charge of outcomes, because indeed we are not. But what do you suppose the outcome of that level of letting go, of that level of acceptance of who we are, would lead us to going forward? See, this whole journey for me, and I'm sure for many of you, has been about healing relationships, healing connections. Mostly the relationship between who I thought I was, who I believed I was, who I was programmed to believe I was. Healing those thoughts and with who I truly am. Justifying those thoughts, justifying those discrepancies between who I thought I was and who I am. The whole journey has been about healing those thoughts. Things that I probably held up as, you know, truths about myself, and seeing them as just puffs of smoke, really, illusion. That's what the whole journey has been about. So again, if we were to accept this notion that we're perfectly perfect the way we are, that there's nothing further to be gained, of course we continue on this journey in terms of staying connected to like-minded individuals and moving forward with our mighty companions on this journey. But again, if we accepted the notion that absolutely nothing is missing, that we're not in any way seeking to understand any further, desiring happiness at the level of the body. Now, Rupert also went on in this passage to say that this seeking, this agitation, is an activity in consciousness. You know, it's all happening within consciousness. So it's not anything that we would look to and degrade or judge in any way. All of this is happening within consciousness. It's consciousness just obscures, as Rupert put it here, itself from itself. And the natural result of consciousness doing that is that we naturally feel like something is missing. So you see, that's the reason why judgment isn't necessary, because the way this whole thing is set up, we're naturally set up to believe that, to feel like something is missing. Again, he said here that it's like consciousness is saying, I'm not present. I don't know myself. I'm not experiencing myself, when all that is happening is that we're experiencing ourselves. We're experiencing love, consciousness. Through, of course, the filter and the perception of the mind, through the filter of the mind in most cases. And I know that I don't know myself and I'm not experiencing myself. I know that, you know, that sounds almost laughable. But it's what most of us know to be this experience, and it results in seeking. You know, I've personally just made the decision to just flush the whole notion of self-improvement. You can't improve on perfection. And again, it goes back to the questions that I asked a little earlier. What if we're perfect in every way, just the way we are? What if nothing is missing? Nothing is unknown? Nothing further for me to seek about spirituality? So instead of unconsciously seeking, whether it be at a spiritual level or a personal level, I'm very aware of the tendency to want to seek. So whatever level it's showing up for me, I'm much more interested at this point in expansion versus seeking. You see, expansion, it just expands this tight little bubble that I've lived in or lived, you know, a part of over these years. It expands that bubble, and it will allow me to live a more inclusive, compassionate life where I'm no longer interested in improving anything, not just myself, but anyone. You know, what will happen, there are natural consequences in the universe, right? There's a natural flow to everything. And if anyone who's listening to me hasn't heard Regina's talk on the flow, I encourage you to do that, because it speaks very much to what I'm talking about now. The natural flow of the universe, allowing natural consequences to occur in a very organic way, that's what brings about peace and clarity. When you're not forcing your opinion or your perspective or your ideas onto a situation, right? It's a powerful position to be in. It's a powerful position from which to view the world. Doesn't mean that we don't take actions wherever actions are called for, wherever we're guided to move and take action. We just don't worry about the actions that are taken. We don't put any weight on the outcome of those actions or any worry about what those actions will ultimately lead to. Again, peace and clarity are the result of allowing the natural consequences of the universe to unfold. I mean, truthfully, how far does worrying get us in the first place, right? How far does worrying at all get anyone about how things are going to turn out or how this or that is going to unfold? In fact, worry is a direct descendant of lack. And being of the understanding that there's no lack in God, there's no lack in our Father. It's not something that he created. It's not something that he promotes in any way. I mean, there's no lack in love. So the idea for me of worrying anymore. It's a mute point. It's pointless for me to worry about anything or how anything will come out. Now, I must admit, for a really long time, worry would sneak up on me and knock at my door like, hey, I'm still here. You can't get rid of me that quickly. I'm still here. And so I can't say that at this point that I'll never, ever worry again, but because I don't know anything, right? But I live in the now, and I speak to you here in the now. I'm fully connected to the now. And so in that way, what I'll say is, for now, I choose not to worry about outcomes. I rely on those natural consequences. And again, Regina spoke recently about the benevolent, spontaneous universe that we live in. It goes back to that faith and trust. It goes back to that knowing that we're connected and knowing that all is well. I just choose not to feed the beast of lack any longer, as much as I can consciously help it. And I'm understanding, I have a much greater context or perspective about what lack is and how it manifests. Because at one time I would have thought lack just meant I don't have enough money, I don't have enough material things. But lack can show up in your thoughts in multitude of ways, not just in those ways. So understanding that lack is much bigger than I thought it was, it requires me to be conscious of the choice that I've made to allow the natural consequences to unfold in this organic way for me to take whatever actions are there for me to take and to allow to rest. Yeah, because outcomes, you know, they're just out of our league. They're not something that we can at all control or maintain. And again, this all goes back to this seeking at the level of the body for happiness, seeking at the level of the mind for understanding. When we can really choose a more peaceful and loving approach to that by simply allowing those natural consequences. So a miracle then is a shift in perception. We know that. So we can choose the miracle by choosing to shift out of that mindset that something is missing or something remains to be known, and into a mindset of restoration, renewal, and truth. In lesson 78 of A Course in Miracles, it points out that we can allow the miracle to replace our grievances and rest in that knowing. So again, this all comes back to what we're choosing, what we're consciously choosing to focus on. And all of these points that I'm making today are just, as I mentioned, they're milestones, stepping stones in this road to restoration, on this road to living a life where there's truly a sense of being restored. There's truly a sense of living without worry, living without the notion of lack, learning to disengage or disconnect from that whole collective programming that lack is real, that suffering is real. Right? So we work towards this shift in perception shifting out of the idea that something is missing, something is wrong, something is lacking, to this notion that all is well. The universe is perfect. Nothing is missing. It's a completely different mindset, and it brings about a completely different outlook on your experience, my experience. At the end of the day, I really choose to believe that I and my Father are one. That's the blessed miracle that I'm choosing to know and to believe as I continue on this journey, as I continue through these transitions that I mentioned earlier at the top of my conversation. Things are shifting so quickly, major shift, but as this continues, as life continues to unfold, as I continue to align myself with the reality that only love is real, that my Father and I are one, and nothing is missing from my experience in this current now moment, I'm just eternally grateful, deeply grateful, that there's not a valley that's low enough to sever that connection. Right? This is the journey. This is the road to restoration for me. All right. So, there is a feeling of completion here. So, I want to ask Ken or Lynn, I don't know who's doing the posting this morning in the chat room, if you would please post a link there for anyone who would like to donate to Awakening Together. Of course, your donations are always greatly appreciated and welcomed here. I'm also going to ask Lynn to play us a song to contemplate this whole notion of perfection. Perfection in you, perfection in life. Shifting perceptions into this miracle-minded, life-affirming. Mindset. So Lynn, if you would please play a song for us. We'll contemplate what we've talked about today, and if anyone would like to share after the song, we'll have time for you to do so. So I'm releasing this mic now for you, Lynn, and love to you all.
Stay. And this
Lynn, for that song. And now is the time where if you'd like to make comments about anything really, you're welcome to raise your hand and I will release the mic to you. So does anyone have anything they'd like to say? Lynn, I see your hand and this mic is yours.
Wow, Gloria, I am so excited, just so happy to hear you say these things. This is absolutely, in my experience, what is the truth, that there is nothing, there is no reason to try, to struggle, to study, to really to do any of the things that we do. Actually, all we're doing is just biding our time until we recognize, oh, this is not really what's happening here, and that this world that I'm seeing is actually just a reflection to me of my own thinking. And the more I see that in everything I see, the more I also see that the shift in my thinking actually is shifting what I'm seeing in the world. And that is what a blessing and what a gift. And the only thing that, here's the standard that I use always, is it love? Just what you were saying. If something appears to me to be not love, then the question comes, where is that coming from? And I can always look inside myself and see exactly what it is. Some kind of ego preservation strategy, some kind of thought or idea that I know what's right and everybody else is wrong. These things that come up that shadow our light, that block our light, are the things that we need to look at. I need to look at to see what is my part in this. And every single time it comes to love or not love. And Jesus says that's in A Course in Miracles, it's either love or a call for love. So there's no such thing as not love. It is still a form of love. It is still loving, love calling to itself for that connection, because love is the connection. Love is the bridge. You know, when you're, you know, talking about restoring, restructuring, when I read your letter, your email about what it was going to be about, that song, Love Can Build a Bridge, came up because the bridge is the thing that brings the infrastructure together, that ties us all together. And so it's just, what a lovely message. And I absolutely, you seem to be pretty much where I'm feeling I am right now, in this space of really being able to see the difference between the lies. That's why that song, Lies Get Clearer Every Day and Truth Is Here to Stay. That's exactly what I'm seeing. So thank you so much, beloved Gloria. And I will turn over the mic, and I see Ruby has her hand up. I'd love to hear her voice.
Yes, and thank you so much, Lynn. There was one thing that you pointed out, and it was something that I would trip over myself along on this road to restoration that I've been talking about, and you did correct it, actually. You said something different at the end, and that was seeing whether or not this is love or it isn't love. You know, the key in that, and that was huge for me, was to realize it's all love. Everything is occurring in consciousness. So if I'm seeing something that's not love, then there's a block, there's something going on in me. You know, there's something that I'm personally not perceiving in this situation. Again, those are the blocks to love's presence. Ruby, I see your hand is up and this mic is yours.
Yes, thank you, Gloria. That was such a great message. I just really enjoyed how you... I really enjoyed how you talked about, you know, the happiness and understanding. It was just so clear and precise. And then you started talking about why suffering was necessary. And all of these were meaningful to me. I had some experiences with suffering, you know, throughout my whole life. And that was my question. But one, I noticed that suffering was a mind thing. When I had my stroke, which affected me for like 15 years, and it affected my memory, and I couldn't remember stuff, so I didn't get angry or upset hardly ever, and everything that George, my husband, wanted to do, I was okay with it. Everything was okay. And then when my memory started coming back, I started remembering or making up stories about my stroke and how awful it was, and how I'm suffering because I'm not, you know, I can't remember, I can't do this, and all the complaining started coming up. So I was able to see that the suffering was in the mind, but of course, I still suffered throughout life after that, until I had to have another experience of suffering. It was in the mind. And I've had several experiences that showed me that suffering is in the mind. It's your thoughts. And then the other thing, I just wanted to thank you for that again. The other thing is the perfection. As you know, I was talking about perfection, and I've always
want it to be perfect because I thought that was how you were saved. I was, you know, raised as Seventh-day Adventist, and you had to be perfect because Jesus was coming and he was going to separate the people who weren't perfect from the non-believers. So that thought had disappeared in my mind because I was no longer believing that this religion or the whole process of that concept. However, the one thing that didn't leave is me wanting to be perfect. So I was still looking at that, and it was coming up as I was meditation and with Regina studying. And then I understood that consciousness is perfect. There is no I that is perfect. There is no I. And so consciousness is perfect. And I think that you were reinforcing this today. And consciousness is everything. And everything is love, no matter how it shows up. So thank you so much. And I would also recommend, this was also very clear of me listening to Regina's Holy Spirit's, her last Holy Spirit's audio, which was just really reinforcing so much.
All right. Thank you so much for that lovely sharing, Ruby. Yes, absolutely. Everything is perfect and everything is love. So we are at the time in our gathering now where I'm going to ask Lynn to play a song to close us out for today's gathering. Next up, we do have fellowship time with Reverends Rebecca and Reverend Ken. I believe that's from 11:30 till noon, if I'm not mistaken. So if you'd like to stick around to continue sharing in the fellowship hour, you're welcome to do that. And again, Lynn, I'm going to ask that you play a closing song for us. Thank you all for joining us today.